Welcome to the Digital Report Podcast, where you discover how to connect, influence, and inspire in the digital age.
Don't tell me, but just think. I've just rubbed the lamp and the genie's come out and I've got three wishes. You've got three wishes. What would those three wishes be? Once you've sussed them, just let me know that you've done it.
When
you
got wishes, them, yeah? What would they be?
Uh-huh. Don't have to tell me. I just want to, once you've got them.
I think I've got them. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Sorry to break it to you, JT. There's no fucking genie. All wishes. Right? You're not seven.
Welcome everybody to another Digital Report Master Series interview, and I'm super excited today because we have the amazing Brad Burton. And Brad is UK's number one motivational business speaker. He's the author of four best business selling books. He's the highest rated motivational business author on Amazon, and he's the founder of the largest business network in the UK. So welcome, Brad. How are you doing today?
JT, good. You know what? I was the founder of the largest joined up business network in the UK, and then the pandemic came along and said, guess what? That's not happening anymore. So it's moved on since then. I've moved on since that point. But yeah, thank you so much for the intro.
You're welcome, man. That is good. I was going to ask you about that as well, because I was wondering, because I remember reading on one of your posts about the pandemic and how do you have to shift direction on that. So I'd be love to chat to you about that as well. But as usual, Brad, you know, the concept of this whole podcast is, you know, about rapport. That's where we start with it. So for you, like, what does rapport mean to you?
You know, when it's just easy to have a conversation, it's not stilted. That's what rapport is. And, you know, it's a strange profession as a motivational speaker, where I've got to walk into a room full of strangers of all walks, from all walks of life, all ages, and win them over. You know, and that's really, I've kind of mastered that whole element now. Because it is a strange profession. You've almost got to be mentally ill to do that. But that's what rapport is. Rapport is, I think, making it easy for people to like you. And I think that the easiest way for people to like you is by being yourself. I find that in life and in business, people try pretend and use various strategies to win people over. And it's like, no, just be yourself. Just be yourself. And if people don't like you for being you, that's okay, as long as you like you for being you.
Absolutely, man. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, we like to share with people about, you know, what rapport is, how it works, and how you've discovered it along your journey. I mean, let's start with the networking thing, because that was something you were heavily involved in. So being in that network environment, obviously rapport plays a massive part in that, right? So, you know, speak to me a bit about that. Like, how did that come about?
So I started my network off in 2006. And I looked at the way that business networking was done, and you had in political terms a loony left where nothing quite happened. Chablais and Volavance, the local mayor talking about park and provision in Croydon. No one gives a shit. That's the reality of it. And then you had the hardcore right. Where's your leads? Where's your referrals? You have to attend. And I'm thinking, where was the mainstream of networking that appealed to normal people? Didn't exist. So I started four networking off, and it grew. You know, first year 12 groups, and then it was like 24, 56, 120. And we ended up running 68,000 business networking meetings across the UK in total, 68,000 real world business networking meetings. And I don't believe there's anyone in the UK that's had as many 10-minute one-to-ones at four network, and you used to sit down with another member, you swap cards, and have three 10-minute one-to-ones with different people. And I don't believe there's anyone that's had more 10-minute one-to-ones with business owners than me. And I think that that's been really useful for me, because it allows me to get to the kind of nub of any situation or any problem fast. And that's down to building rapport. The first two questions that I use whenever I'd sit down with somebody who kind of swapped cards because he wanted to have a sit down with me was this. Is this anything in particular or just a catch-up? That was my opening gambit for 15, 16 years. Anything in particular you want to ask, or is it what you want to cover, or is it just a catch-up? That allowed the latitude for any conversation to go anywhere.
That's you just got straight to the point, like, you know, because you're saying did that just happen because, you know, you're at the networking events and you just happen to have 10 minutes with everyone, or was that like a strategy?
No, that was the format of for networking. Okay. I created the format. The format was 3 10-minute appointments within the meeting. So what happened is everyone would go around the table. I'm Brad, I do this, this, and this. You'd go, I'm JT, I do this. And as we go around there, I wouldn't mind speaking to JT. We then break for a coffee after everyone's done the 40 seconds, and then you'd swap a card, a 1 for a 1, a 2 for a 2, a 3 for a 3. You'd get rid of your cards and then have 3 10-minute appointments in group time. So really what it was about appointments, because first and foremost, if I don't like you and you don't like me, it's going nowhere. What are you selling?
Yeah, exactly. And that's quite interesting because, you know, so did you used to give tips to people on how to build that instant rapport? Or,
I train people. That's what I do. I train people in terms of at the meetings about networking tips and the likes. But principally, look, you know, just be yourself. I think what ends up happening is people end up putting a false version of themselves, almost like a costume play of what a business person should be like. You know, you and I should sit down and we should start talking about hedge funds and vertical markets. And you think, what a load of shit. That's not what I'm about. I'm about Lego and playing computer games. But somewhere along the way, you know, so one of my probably most influential friends, I won't mention his name, I've been name dropping, and King Charles told me not to name drop. And the jokes don't get any funnier, mate. We've got 53 minutes of this. but a friend of mine, you know, significant operator on the UK business scene, computer gamer. And we first started, we first connected at a business conference, and we got talking about computer games. And that evening or the day after, whatever, we ended up playing Need for Speed. He was a police officer. I was a, you know, and this is a business owner that was the same age as me, 45, 50 or whatever. So, you know, that's what rapport is about, not talking the bullshit that you think you're supposed to talk. And the problem is, and this is about, you know, so I'm a motivational speaker, and there's no motivational speaker in the land that looks like me, shaved head, you know, tattoos from Salford, Manchester. Don't worry, though, I'm not a drug dealer anymore. But, you know, we can all change. And this is what it's about. It's about changing. It's about developing as to who and what you are. When I first started networking, all right, kid, how are you doing? I used to speak like that through my nose. People couldn't understand me. I remember repeating things. And people said, sorry, what was that? And you'd repeat it after 3 times. So I couldn't build rapport. So I had to slow down my speech. So the whole thing, communication is massive. Communication is, it's almost like I say, you look at Obi-Wan Kenobi, these aren't the droids you're looking for. If he was no good at building rapport or communication, he wouldn't be able to do that. So it's so important that you recognize how powerful communication is.
And tell me a bit about that, because I was reading through all your the bio that was sent across to me, and you've had like a roller coaster of a journey, right?
I think everyone's had a roller coaster of a journey. I think the difference is I'm stupid enough to share it. You know, I would be the worst motivational speaker. I've never been over Mount Kilimanjaro or the Great Wall of China on a unicycle, you know, or circumvented the globe on a ship. I've never done any of those things, but what I have done is I've turned my life around from a Salford street kid who got shot at 21 to delivering pizzas, to doing 4 years on benefits, being addicted to drugs twice, you know, no qualifications, and somewhere along the way end up creating a multi-£1 million national organisation. So something happened in that I kind of made decisions. And, you know, you talk about rapport, but what about rapport with yourself, your own internal voice? What is your internal voice saying to you? Is it grating every single time? Is it encouraging? Is it a cheerleader? Or is it someone, your internal voice, that is running you down? And until you get control of that, and it is something to get control of, the biggest fight of your life is to which version of you you're going to be. There's two versions of you, JT. There's a good version and there's not so good. And actually, I think I've kind of won that battle over the last 20 years to be the better version of myself.
Wow. When was that moment when you kind of connected with yourself? Because what I'm getting from this is that internal conversation, that something inside you went, there must be a better way or a different way of doing this or something, right?
Great question. You know, I've had numerous step-ups over the years as to who and what I am. Most recent one, probably 18 months ago, when I had a voice come to me, and it sounds a little bit weird and woo, but let me share it with you. A voice came to me and said, you've got to let go. I'm like, what? And I'm in bed, and it said, you've got to let go. Okay, interesting. Said it again. And actually, that was 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, I'm either imagining things or something's telling me I need to let go. And that was it. And I did. And I think what I needed to let go of 18 months ago was to my identity as to Brad Burton, the guy who's, you know, this big national network, big reputation. I actually let go of all that. And I went, okay, maybe what would let go mean? And it was like, let go, I hate the word, but ego, let go of that you know, the nature of who I am and the nature of my presentation style requires me to have a show version, jazz hands. It does. That's the nature of it. Mm-hmm. You know, no point in me coming on air and going, I'm the UK's number one motivational speaker. It just wouldn't work, right? So, but you see, look, straight away, there's just something different about language. And this is what people need to understand. It's the small things. So going back to the point, I've had numerous changes and numerous step ups with my the identity of who and what I am. It's something that I do. I'm not good at handy, I don't think. But it's something that I do, which is really working out who and what version of you are, because there is two versions of me. You know, there's two versions of everyone. And most people don't take control. They just default. I'm looking for something, by the way, when we're speaking. Most people don't necessarily take control of the situation. They allow the situation to take control of them. And I think that that's what you've got to do in life and in business, is you've got to be conscious of all your decisions. Most people are not conscious. They just kind of autopilot. And what ends up happening is those days become weeks, those weeks become months, those months become years, those years become a life, and you end up in a place that you don't really want to be. So what you've got to do is you've got to be conscious of every single decision that you make.
Yeah. Napoleon Hill alludes to that in, I think it was Outwitting the Devil, when he was talking about like hypnotic rhythm, like these little habits that we build over time, and we don't even realize that we've built them. And then one day you think, how'd that happen?
True story. You know, you don't, and this is the thing. So let me show you something. I've not got a perfect version of it, but let me just show you this. This is how I effectively teach people as to which version. This is something that I've developed. So this is called Life Check. So effectively, I evaluate where people are on so many levels. And by doing that, I can then work out where people are, because people want to fix their business. They need to fix themselves first. And this is the bit, you know, if someone is over drinking, overeating, over smoking, overdoing other daft shit, dumb shit, there's something going wrong there. So until you get those flaws sorted out, I'm no angel, trust me. But until you actually recognize, you know, you ain't fixing your business. And that your biggest chance of business success isn't your PR, isn't your website, it's this, your brain. And your brain will talk you into things, it'll talk you out of things. And what you need to do is make it talk you into things, nice, positive things, and create a monster, a big, positive, benign one.
No, absolutely, man. And it's interesting that you're sharing that kind of like the shadow side of oneself, right?
That's a man who understands spirituality, but we can set that offline.
absolutely, but the way I understand it, it's like it's got, you know, everything's got its kind of oneness, but there's like a dual aspect to it, where, you know, like the yin yang, for example, it's absolutely got the positive, the negative, and then it's got the negative within the positive and the positive within the negative. It seems like there's like this constant dance going on, right?
Absolutely. So if I think about me, I'm a Salford Street kid. So years ago, I'd walk around going, yeah, what are you looking at now, Ben? Right, that's what I'd do. And there was an edge to me, which I did that to protect myself from anyone messing with me. How did that protect me from not getting shot at? It didn't. So somewhere along the way, I recognised, but I'm a different guy, but I'm the same guy that I once was. You know, I've used all the good stuff from my past. I brought it forward. Anything that was shit, I left it back there.
So when did you first get started in business then? When was that first moment?
So I December the 17th, 2004, told my employer to shove the job up their ass. And actually, there, that book, Get Off Your Ass, was what I wrote about. I walked out of a job, £25,000 in debt, no income. My wife was delighted with that decision. And she said, why couldn't you keep your mouth shut 5 days before the Christmas to get your Christmas pay? She had a point. So it's fine, Kerry, I'm going to start my own business off. How difficult can it be? And I end up, I deliver pizzas to keep my business afloat. And then about 18 months later, I started Four Networking, which is the business I was probably most well known for. So that was the date for me. It was a crucial date. But I realized something. I was 31 at the time. I'm now 50. So that was 19 years ago. 19 years ago. Wow. But my entire life's changed. You and I are talking as a result of that decision. I live in Somerset. I travel the world speaking now as a result of that decision. So at the time, if I had said, I'm going to speak globally at JCB, Costa and Bentley, and everyone go, yeah, all right. And that's what I do. And actually you think, well, that's interesting. How did you manage that? And I managed it by changing my direction and my trajectory. And anyone can do that today. You don't have to wait, and we all wait for permission for somebody to help us change our lives and change our direction. Do it today. Do it today. Walk out your job. You know, that shit relationship you're involved in. Pull it. You know, this is the thing. You've got one life. Are you really gonna, for the easy life, gonna put up with that for the remainder of your days? That isn't an easy life. That's a tough life.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like, you know, I have had like.
You've got a situation right now going on that you're not talking about, but that's okay. We can set that one offline as well.
Say that again.
So it sounds to me like you've got a situation going on at the moment, a decision that you need to make. You said possibly,
but possibly subconsciously you might have picked up on something. You never know. I mean, you know, you being on stage talking to like hundreds and thousands of people, so what you get to see on your side.
So let me tell you this. Okay, so. So for your audience perspective, right, what I want you to do right now, Jay, is I want you to don't tell me, but just think. I've just rubbed the lamp and the genie's come out and I've got three wishes. You've got three wishes. What would those three wishes be? Once you've sussed them, just let me know that you've done it.
What would they be?
You got them? Don't have to tell me. I just want to, once you've got them.
I think I've got them, yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah. Sorry to break it here, JT. There's no fucking Gina. Oh, with you. You're not seven. And I think what I would suggest, though, is what changes can you make to make those wishes a reality? Yeah. And that, well, okay, now I get clarity. Because wishes are... No. What changes can you make? I wish I was healthy. I wish I lost 3 stone. I wish I made more money. I wish I moved house. Okay, what decisions do you need to make that a reality? And that's pretty much how I changed my life.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I mean, you can see the genuine, authentic, you know, experience of your life coming through there, you know, just be able to even pick up on it. That's amazing, man. That's amazing.
You know, I think, and this is the other thing, when it comes to making decisions, the reason we don't make decisions is we're scared of the wrong ones, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, do you have a crystal ball there, Jay?
No.
I do have one, right? So if you're going to imagine a future, imagine a positive one,
yeah.
Right? Because what happens if fucking Putin's sending over rockets right now and we're all going to die within the next 8 seconds through no fault of our own? Yeah. So nobody knows about the future. So when I see people worrying, it's an imaginary future. They're imagining it. And I'm like,
that's right.
Why don't you imagine a positive one? What am I missing? This is crazy. So this is what I do, everything that I do. So when it comes to making decisions, the reason people don't make decisions is they're scared they're the wrong ones. The only time we realize that when we make a decision is after the event. Up until that point, it's the correct decision. No one, including me, wakes up and says, I'm going to fuck up today. But occasionally I do. So I've sussed something out that an expert, I'm a motivational speaker, I'm an expert. I've spoke 2,500 times in public. An expert is someone that has made all the mistakes in a particular niche field. So in order for me to be an expert as a motivational speaker, I've got to have made mistakes. I've got to have died on stage. And most people, when they die on stage, go, oh, I'm never doing that again. Every single time I've died on stage, it must be 100 times, I ask myself this question. What did I like best? What would I do differently next time? Yep. And it moves you forward. So here's the thing. An expert is someone that's made all the mistakes in a particular niche field. When you make a decision, if you get it right, it moves you one step towards success. If you get it wrong, it moves you one step towards being an expert. You can't fail. So I will make decisions day in, day out. And I've got a methodology that I use to make decisions, which is so succinct. And this is something that Bentley Global use. And the reason that Bentley Global use it is I taught it to me, Brad Burton, right? The former drug addict, the guy who's done 4 years on benefits, the guy who got shot. Sorry, not that Brad, the other one. The four-time best-selling business author, the UK's number one motivational business speaker, the founder of two sides of the same coin. So when it comes to making decisions, I'm the easiest person in the world to make a decision. I'll make a decision in 24 seconds. If I can't make a decision in 24 seconds, I'll revisit it in 24 minutes. If after 24 minutes I can't make a decision, I'll revisit it in 24 hours. If after 24 hours I can't make a decision, I just made a decision. It's not important. Next. Move on. Because we spend too much time on shit that doesn't matter. Oh, I'm not sure. And while you're stacking up that decision, there's another one stacking up and everything's stacking up and you're the bottleneck for your own life. So the more correct decisions that you can make in your life, the faster you can make them, the sooner you're going to get to wherever you're going to get to.
Exactly. I mean, that's such a valuable point because like you see all the time, you're working with clients, you're working with people and most of the time, it's just the story that they've created within their own minds about what's going on for them, right? So that's fantastic. I mean, like speaking on this side of it about building, being in rapport with yourself first, right? Yeah. It's such a powerful thing because, it's like mastering yourself first before you can go out there and have influence on other people or, guide and support others, right?
Absolutely. So, I always say this, that, one of the things that I used to do, I'd give my last pound to a big issue salesperson and that would leave me nothing. And I realized something, like that was backward that. I was doing the world of this service and I recognized something, that the more clout, influence, money, power I've got, the more people I can help. And that's fundamentally at my core. My whole religion, Bradism, help many, hurt few, live life. And I live it to the simplest. It allows me to navigate the world. Help many, hurt few, live life. And by doing that, people say, oh, why do you have to hurt anyone? I don't want my way to hurt anyone. But the nature of decisions, my wife wants cheesecake, I want creme brulee, we've only got, you're going to upset somebody, you're going to get people wrong just by the nature of decisions. And that's how I live my life.
That's interesting. So could that be related to in communication as well? Because it's like you go to a networking event, that's a decision, right? And you speak to someone, that's a decision as well. And then the conversation you have with somebody and where you potentially take that conversation, they were like decisions, right? One after the other.
But what happens is there's a whole lot more opportunity at a networking event than sat behind your desk waiting for the phone to ring. And this is the thing, I'm not going to network in all small businesses. Are you a small business? Yeah. Well, why the fuck aren't you going there?
Exactly.
People get it all twisted. There's somewhere along the way, I've had it. People come up to me and go, oh, yeah, Brad, they're all little small businesses. I'm looking for high net worth individuals. I say, are you a high net worth individual? Sorry? I said, are you a high net worth individual? They go, no. So do me a favor, piss off. I'm looking for high net worth individuals. This is the thing. People get it all twisted. And do yourself a favor in life. Do yourself a favor in business. Never underestimate anyone based on the car they've got, the suit they've got. Never overestimate anyone. Treat everyone the same with respect. And I live by that whole world. It makes no difference. I was out with a guy last night, £20 million business, speaking to a director today of a national organization, 150 million quid at 12 o'clock. And I will speak to them in the same way that I speak to Colin the carpet cleaner. It makes no difference. And this is, I think, where people go wrong from a rapport perspective. Unless Theo Pathetis. Hello, Theo. Love your investments, Theo.
That's an interesting thing, because when people have that kind of dialogue going on, right, it's almost like they put somebody up on a pedestal, right?
Mate.
How did you overcome that originally?
It was almost like I'm about to share something that's going to blow your fucking head off. So, you'll never outperform your self image. Okay. You'll never outperform your self image. So, if I see myself as a Salford Street kid, all I can ever be is a Salford Street kid. And my decisions will be based around being a Salford Street kid, drugs, hustle, right? If I see myself as a motivational speaker, my decisions and the way that I see the world and the opportunities will be different. Now, when it comes to, Alan Sugar, right? Right? Sir Sugar. Hello, Lord Sugar. Right? So, Lord Sugar, on a scale of 1 to 10, he's a 10. And I'm a lowly 3, looking up, hello, Lord Sugar. Right? Now, however, if I compare myself to them, right. If, however, I compare me to me back then, I'm a 10. Brad, the old Brad was a 2 or a 3. So what you need to do is compare you to you. Stop comparing yourself. There's a reason that racehorses wear blinkers. They don't give a toss about the competition. And when we start getting twisted about looking at other people and, oh, he's worth lots of money, and it's stop it, you simp. The thing is, by doing that, you're just destabilizing and discrediting yourself. So where I get on really well with big, serious directors is I don't doff my cap to them. And it's not that I'm being disrespectful. They'll get exactly the same treatment as everyone else as a human being.
Yep.
No, I'm not. Oh, hey, hello, sir. Hello.
Exactly. Exactly, man. That's so funny, man. You were sharing about, letting go. And you were saying, that's that thing, isn't it? That ego, the pride we build up. Because ego is like identity.
Letting
go of that.
I hate that word. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying that term, there's a better word for it. Maybe identity, because it's like the ego. Honestly, it doesn't spite me, but I think there's a better word for it. So I think identity, your imagined identity. Because if you go and chop my arm off, I'm still Brad. Go and chop the other arm off, I'm still Brad. At some point, when does Brad stop existing? And I don't think it's to do with any of this, unfortunately. And that's a completely different spiritual conversation. But I don't believe that any of this is relevant. You know, if I look at me now, I can't turn my back. Let me see if I can take a photograph of it. So this is me. This is me, which is three stone heavier. Right. That was in 2011. Am I that guy or am I a different guy? You know, we all change, and this is where people have problems, is they refuse to change. They're holding on to the past. And this is post-pandemic. Lots of people are trying to get back to a time and a place that no longer exists. Right? And it's tiring. And even if you get back to where it once was, that's pissed off now. So now, so I described to the board of directors the other day, I said, you know, you're running around trying to get back to normal. I said, you've got a chicken with a tag rope on its neck saying normal, and you're all running after it, and it's running and flapping its wings. Like, stop it. So I ain't going back to normal. This is normal now. And just, you know, this is normal.
Yeah. No, exactly. And that, so I suppose, like, you know, when you're talking about the pedestal, our identity and networking and connection, communication, it all starts to form like, based on decision, is like, what do you want for yourself as the end goal, right? What do you envision yourself doing and being?
But where people go wrong, JT, where people go wrong is they think short term.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fucking Chinese tonight, a big telly next week, holiday in 3 weeks' time. So when my life changed, was when I flipped my thinking from short term to medium and long term. And once you get past the short term, give an example, let's say everyone out going drinking at weekends, and then the other one doesn't drink but saves the money and go and gets fit. So if the 3 months everyone's had that short term Friday night fun, the other guy who's not done that is now fit and he's got the money saved up so he can do something nice with that money. That's a basic example. But most people don't get beyond the short term. So they work all week to enjoy the weekend, to work all week to enjoy the weekend. They work all week to enjoy the weekend. And so it continues.
Yeah, there's some good bombshells you're dropping there for people to, you know, really connect with. Like, we were talking about, things changing. There's no, you know, there's like a new normal type of thing. And you mentioned you're used to do the largest business network.
Totally.
That's all changed. Like, let's talk a bit about that. Like, we used to be in this like offline world, and now we're in this online world. There's like this interesting emergence happening. Yeah.
Well,
have you adapted? What are you doing? What's, you know, what do you want to do with that?
This is interesting. I've not got any books with me, but there's something that I teach, and it's really fascinating in that 20 years ago, people would have dealt with financial world, physical world, emotional world. Now we're dealing with a digital world that didn't exist 20 years ago. So now you're trying to balance that on top. So imagine like balls, emotional, physical, mental, financial. Now you throw a ball in there called digital. So now you've got an extra ball. And then on top of that, I've kind of discovered in the last 18 months, the spiritual world. So you're trying to balance all these things here, and trying to somehow keep them up and whilst balancing. And I tell you, when I started my business off, I started 25 grand in debt delivering pizzas, blah, blah, blah. And I remember thinking, I'm like a juggler here, juggling finances, people. But one day, when I get through all this, somebody else will do all that, and I can just sit there having pina coladas on the beach while my money rolls in. 19 years on, JT, sorry to break it to you, I'm still fucking juggling. All right. And this is once you realize that we ain't business owners, you're not entrepreneurs, you're a freaking juggler. The sooner you realize that, the better.
Absolutely. That's so true. You know that. It's like all the different things we're juggling, right?
So going back to that whole thing, you know, March the 20th, March 21st, 2020, my business, 1.8 million quid. Boris Johnson, next day, please stay at home. How long did you think it was going to kind of locked down for that first one, Jay?
Oh man, it was crazy. I mean, with my inner circle, we kind of said, "Oh, I think this thing's going to go on for about 2-3 years." Like back then.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we didn't have that foresight, and very few people that I meet on my travels had that foresight. That most people believe it's certainly initially, anyway, it's going to be 2 or 3 months tops. Mm-hmm. And and my world changed at that point. But once again, if my identity was wrapped up in being that guy, I can't get back there. It's gone. And I think this is the thing, is that mountaineers don't stay at the top of mountains. Once you get to Everest, you don't go, fucking hell, it's great here. Why don't you stay here? You then come back down. And that's what something that I've accepted about this. Now, I'm in a position where 19 years ago, I started with me. And then over the years, I had a team at my height of 800 people. 800 people. I have a team of me now. So 19 years on, I've come full circle. But what not come full circle, because I've got something which I talked about before, experience. I'm an expert in my field. I get flown around the world. I go into team development days. I mentor people in a way that I could never have dreamed of back in the day. And the way that I mentor people is that I don't do days with people, individuals. I just do 90 minutes. And then somebody went on there today, said, oh, I love that. He looked and they went, oh, it's very expensive. I can get a business coach for that price all day. Go on then. I'm okay. My life's good. You know, so you can. This is where people get it all twisted. They would rather have some fucking idiot spending a day with them for the same money as me in 90 minutes and get the answer. And this is just what's crazy about the world. You know, so I do things differently, not because I do things differently for a laugh, but you'll never be the market leader copying the market leader. Right. So there's no point in me. I'm not trying to reproduce anyone. I'm just me. I'm an eclectic set of skills, Salford Street kid, you know, involved in all sorts of tackle that somewhere along the way has ended up writing 4 books and travels globally and set up a multi-million pound business from nothing. I don't think I'm that thick. I'm not as thick as I look.
So you know, you're sharing about how, like, you had a massive team of about 800, right? And then obviously COVID, all that kind of stuff, put that to a halt. How did you pivot? How did you pivot from there to embrace the technology as such,
So we was running 500 business networking meetings, 500 business networking meetings across the UK every single month. Mm-hmm. COVID came along, and we was the first network to so we incorporated those appointments that I talked, or 3 one-to-ones. We was the pioneers of that. And also the other thing that we was the pioneers of was something called a passport, which was allowed you to go to any 4 networking meetings. So I actually did 13 in a week, hardcore, but I did 13 4 networking meetings in a week. You know, there was breakfast, there was lunches, there was evenings, just wild. The national network, no one had ever done that. And then when we pivoted, what we did within 24 hours, we was the first network to take it online. So we run our meetings online. And it was, solid. So, you know, it did well because people didn't know, it was disorientated. And then it started, people, the real world, was it, we're going back? No, we're not. And it just, so it was never quite the same. I sold all my networking interest in August last year. And I'm good with that. And it allowed me this fresh start. I had to let go, remember, where the voice told me. The weirdest shit ever, by the way. But anyway,
Right. So what are you mainly focusing on at the moment then? Like, what's the new stuff that you're doing?
No, sitting on my ass playing computer games. And I mean that loosely. And what I mean by that is I'm not touting for business. Mm-hmm. I'm reactive now, okay? I'm in a really good position where, as a guy, you know, I still need to work. But I don't need to work like I once did. There was a time when I'd be doing 1,000 miles a week. Not that guy anymore. So I'm doing mentoring. I'm doing team development days, boards. I'm sort of non-execs on a couple of the boards. And also my life maker, I've got a new product that I'm coming out, which is really to how to change from where you are to where you want to be. And I believe I've got the key to that. I've stopped people doing drugs within like 10 minutes. Who have been addicted to cocaine for many, many months or years, I've literally changed them, stopped them doing it in 10 minutes. There was somebody I worked with 2 weeks ago. They've been addicted to Red Bull for 12 years. Stopped them within 2 weeks. So they was doing anywhere between 5 cans, upwards of 5 cans every single day. And they've not done one in the last 2 days. So I've got to kind of learn psychology that I've kind of learned, not through no fucking degree, but you don't need one, because whoever made up degrees made them up. Somebody clever said, let's call it a degree. Right? So yeah. No, it's true, you know, it's not like, no, so I made my own up. I've got my own degree, Brad Burton University, a Brad degree. You know, oh, well, you can't do that. Why not? Let me show you something. I've got two awards here.
Yep.
These are the UK's number one motivational business speaker, Britain's number one personal development guru, both of which I bought for $12.99. So, you know, I'm not waiting for permission from anyone.
And yeah,
I put them on social media and everyone's saying, oh, Brad, well done, you know, well deserved. Thank you.
You're wicked, man. That's awesome. You
know, this is the thing, it's social media. But listen, so I had somebody complain, said, who calls you the UK's number one motivational business speaker? I said, let me ask you a question. Who called Muhammad Ali the greatest? And the reason we refer to Muhammad Ali...
I'm the greatest. He said it.
Right. Exactly. And the reason we refer to him 40, 50 years on is because he referred to himself as the greatest. Do you reckon we're going, I tell you what, that Muhammad Ali, he got knocked out five times. He was the greatest, or he fucking was.
No. Yeah.
So somewhere along the way, you know, and this motivational business speaker was a term that never existed. It never existed until I made it up. It doesn't exist anywhere. Go and Google it. Motivational business speaker, me. That's it.
Yeah.
So it just sounds like it's been there for years. If you said, oh, Brad's the UK's number one motivational speaker, I'd say, a creator. I'd say, no, I'm not. So this is the social media world that we work in right now,
exactly.
Which is smoke and mirrors. The difference is I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm not blagging it. I'm telling you. I'm saying, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But you know, it would be easy for me to sell the course, Mr. Networking. You'll be able to go on a £10,000 fucking retreat with Brad Burton and learn how you can create a national business network and the email that generated £70,000 in 1 hour. And you'll learn how to... And it's all true.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
all
yeah.
true. But what I've been failing to say about the email is that it was a six-year-old business and I was on my knees financially and I did a half-price sale. You wouldn't hear that until you paid the 10 grand.
Exactly.
So you can do that. You send the email, exact email, and you scratch your head thinking, why have I not sold anything? Because you didn't have the preceding network for 6 years. And this is the problem that we're in today's day and age. This is the bit that we talk about from a rapport perspective, is that people are using this communication style malignantly, Machiavellian. And actually ripping people off, creating fucking mayhem. And I don't like it. I don't like it. You know, I've got the skills as a communication piece, and I've got everything that to be able to do that, to rip people off. You go and type my name in, Brad Burton scam, and see if you get any responses on Google. I'm either not a scammer or I've got great lawyers. Right? Now, you know, the reality is, go and try any other guru that you know. Go and type their word in the name scam, and you'll find pages upon pages of them. And you go, okay, well, what's that about? So why have I got none? That everyone else, that broad brush, but lots of these guys, I got invited to speak on stage with some serious global players, and I chose not to because I don't want to. The problem is with selling yourself out for money is the selling out lasts forever. The money doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not that guy.
Exactly. And that's one of the biggest dangers with like social media and everything is just that it's like the Darren Brand effect in a way, isn't it? Like you're shown what he wants you to see. Right. And then we make our own like reality of what we've just seen and thinking,
absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Right.
So you can fill in gaps. And this is, you know, it relies on you doing that. You know, hey, calling all coaches, authors, and fucking whatever consultants. Do you want to learn £10,000 a month? Oh my God. Yeah. Come on this course and you'll learn the secrets. Let me tell you what the fucking secrets are. Right. If they're earning that much money, why the fuck are they telling you the secrets? It doesn't make any sense. So I did another bell end over in one of these business shows that I was in. Fucking, you know, earn money while you sleep, 200 grand, whatever it was. And I'm thinking to myself, why the fuck are you stood in Olympia for 3 days giving out leaflets? I don't understand and pitching. It doesn't add up. And this is the thing is when you start looking into these things, you kind of see, and I obviously... You know, I'm by default, I'm in that world, but I'm not in that world, far from it. And I've kind of, big word for me, but I'm the antithesis of all that. I want no part in any of it.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I mean, it's like, it's that thing about being, what's the word? I didn't want to use the word authentic because we used all the time kind of.
I never used that
being
word
real,
ever.
Right?
Yeah, but once again, the fact is that people have got to say you're authentic. It means that by default, the world's unauthentic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this is the bit. Oh, Brad, you're so authentic. I'm just being me. And like, why can't everyone just be them? Because this is the problem is when, do you imagine a room of 50 people, right? And you've got one of the dragons there and everyone's, right? All of a sudden, you've now got fucking 48 people who've changed. And now this amoeba of fucking simping. And it's like, this is just fucking crazy. This makes no sense.
That's so true. That's so true. But it's like a really interesting thing though, because it's like the industry is kind of making people do that to some degree. They're not even aware that they're doing that.
Yeah.
You know, in some cases, right? Some people are doing it deliberately. And it's just like such a hit and miss kind of thing, because people think they have to do that.
So I got a friend of mine who's a big player. And if you were on his social media feed, you just roll past. And then it's replaced with some 23-year-old in a bikini giving out business tips with 300,000 followers. And people look at that individual as an authority when actually my friend, and this is the danger that we've got right now. I put a post up and I can't remember what it was, but paraphrasing, in essence, it was a picture of Richard Stilgo, you know, a guy from the 70s with a ginger beard and, you know, and a nice sweater. And I said, this is Keith. Keith is an expert in dinghy, but actually no one gives a shit about Keith because you've got somebody in a neon green fucking Lamborghini wearing a bikini and a big pair of bangers. And actually, they're the authority in today's world. They take the dinghy off. And so consequently, what's happened is if you extrapolate that over the world, knowledge is kind of secondary now. What's about image? So I'm kind of, you know, a fucking low-level influencer in terms of that whole world. But I recognize that the only way that I could be anything bigger is if I start selling myself out and being a dick. And actually, I'd rather not. I'm 50 years old, difficult to believe, I know, but I'm 50 years old. And it's like, no, I'm not that guy anymore. I mean, maybe if it would have started 15 years ago, different ball game. Now, can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's, there's some really good, I like it, the raw, real kind of, you know, side of it, which is, you're right, it's so watered down now because, I don't know, people just make up rubbish, they're afraid of being PC and all these kind of things, right?
Mate, but listen, you've got to watch the political correctness has gone fucking crazy now. You cannot say anything. I've got a situation, and I won't go into it too much. Needless to say, I have a stalker. Genuine stalker, and it's been like this for 3 years. Police are involved, they've been arrested, and the device is seized and so forth. When that individual pops up, and they pop up daily, so go and Google Brad Burton, use hashtags, and you'll find posts about me daily about this individual, made up completely.
Right.
This is the danger, is that somewhere along the way, you can have anyone say anything on social media, and you put a reasonable spin on it, it looks pseudo-plausible.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the reality is that you also Google Brad Burton stalker, you'll see the reality of that whole thing. But this is the danger with social media. Now, it's been weaponized.
Yeah.
It's been weaponized. If I go onto social media now and say something terrible about you, terrible heavyweight, you would think that you ring the police up and they'd be around to my house and tell me to remove it immediately. Three years I've been putting up with bullshit day in, day out. Day in, day out, gone to the police, everything's going through the process, and there's a crime number, and there's a CPS they're going to charge, and it's, oh, trust me. And this is the danger with social media, is that you have this almost nuclear power that is there at your fingertips, and it's great as long as everyone's thinking, but when you go and get some lunatic, but yeah. So I understand all elements of social media, the gift and the curse.
It's just the cancel culture stuff, isn't it? It's like...
Dark
and stuff. And it plays that... It's playing out in politics. It's playing out in like so many different things. So, and then,
Jay, here's the thing. So, let's say for the sake of this conversation, okay. And in fact, I'm not going to say that because I'm going to end up getting galvanized. But what you end up having is you have one set of 10% of people here that are hardcore. You have 10% of people here hardcore, and the 80% in the middle don't want to get involved. And these two are firing arrows at each other, and people below are then getting dragged into a fight that they've got no part of. They want no part of. And yet this is the world that we're in, that these two factions are the ones making the loud noise that is being projected. And we are what we see. We are what we hear. We are what we eat. And actually we're seeing this. And this is why 18 months ago, I haven't stopped watching the news. And in 18 months, I have watched less than an hour. Boris Johnson resigning, the Queen's funeral for 20 minutes, and also Donald Trump getting lifted. So I've maybe done 40, 50 minutes in 18 months. Yeah. I used to listen to LBC every single day, driving. Used to love LBC, 6 hours a day listening to politics and listening to arguments. I used to be on Sky News all day long, rolling news. I'm not done it. So I'd rather be uninformed and happy than informed and miserable. I like to keep up to date with all the current events, somebody said to me. And I said, no, you don't. You like looking at the schools being bombed. I do not. So did you watch the news over the weekend? Yes. How long did you watch it for? About 2 hours. What did you learn in that extra hour and 59 minutes that you wouldn't have learned by watching the headlines? Tell me how it educated you. We're addicted to the trauma, effectively. We're addicted to pain. And you need to disconnect yourself from that identity of ours. I don't watch the news anymore. I was big on the news. Big on the news. Like, scale of 1 to 10, I was a 9 on the news. That's how invested I was in the news. I do not know what's going on with interest rates. I don't know what's going on with strikes. I've got no idea what's going on in wars. It doesn't mean I don't care. It means I can't impact. So what is the point in me watching buildings burn, how traumatic and terrible and devastating that is? How does that help me being informed? Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. And this is the thing. I've kind of disconnected myself from the world and gone into Brad's world, and I'm quite good with it in there. It's quite cool.
Yeah. That's all. Sifu Lakhlu would say, disconnect to connect.
Who said that? Sikh.
Sifu Lakhlu. So Lakhlu is a third generation Bruce Lee student, and is a friend and client and brother of mine. And we talk about these things, and he comes out with these little words that like disconnect.
Well, listen, so Sadhguru Guru, I love in terms of his whole ability to be able to just transcend and get those messages. And, you know, I think there's something that I'm doing right now, which is I'm almost a messenger for that world, because I do not fit in the normal, you know, you don't, you know, and I think this is, so I had somebody very spiritual say to me, you have a gift here that you probably need to share a little bit more, because you've got a way of being able to communicate. If you used to have a Venn diagram, you've got street kids, you've got business owners, and I kind of fit right there. I'm not religious, yet I'm spiritual. So I'm right in the middle there. And I think, so interestingly, like I say, with this life maker stuff that I'm doing, you know, that is, it's kind of helping people change in a modern version of change. Because prior to, certainly when I was a kid, I was a Roman Catholic, never got confirmed. I was the only kid that never got confirmed. The only kid in my entire school's history who said bollocks at 13. I said, no. I asked a question to the priest. I said, tell me, if a child dies stillborn, what happens? Well, it's a difficult question, son. What happens is perfect. Fuck off. Not interested. Nonsense. So I've kind of always plowed my own furrow. And I go back down to my made-up awards. Right? If we're making up gods, I'm going to go and make me own up. Do you know what I mean?
Love it, man. That's so fantastic, man. Do you know, Brad, I mean, I would love to chat to you all day, man. I know you're conscious of your time and stuff like that as well. And, but yeah, I mean, like, if, you know, there's so much I could talk to you about. We'll probably have to do some other time, right? Thank you for sharing, because I've had some insights from the way you have conversation. I love it. And I love the way you've kind of, you know, shared your story, your experiences, the things you've learned, and how you're utilizing it in making those connections with others as well. And even, you know, even letting go to then do something way bigger than what you currently are. I one last question. And then it's just like, what are you doing to embrace the technology now? Like, how are you utilizing all of that?
So there's one thing that I need to work on. Weaning myself off digital device, you know, addiction, because I'm an addict. So let's say addict, right? It's a bit dramatic, right? You know, I used to be into cocaine. Great fun, by the way, right? I wouldn't want my children doing it, but great fun. But, you know, it comes a point when it kind of doubles back on itself and it stops becoming fun and becomes a problem. That, I think, is what's happening with digital devices. And I think, if I'm really honest, I think that this is going to be the next cigarettes, the next asbestos. In 20 years' time, we're going to look at this, because our little children and their minds are being, you know, diluted by this. So I think we're in danger zone. I'm a big computer user, big digital fan. I've got GPT-4. I subscribe to it here. I use it as a training buddy and a learning buddy to talk. But I think we're in danger zone. I think technology has gone so fast that that actually there's no brakes anymore. It's a runaway train, and I think we're in danger. If I'm really honest, I really genuinely think we're in danger. And I talking to a friend of mine who's a tech guru the other day, and I said to him, I said, scale of 1 to 10, how serious do you think that this is, this AI, in terms of its ability to potentially cause global problems of the likes of which we never anticipate? I said 8 out of 10. So I'm a big digital fan. I was a head of marketing at an ISP during the dot-com boom. I was involved in that whole game. I love digitals, but I do believe it's a digital drug. And I think anyone that says it's not is talking out their ass. There's no different to me reaching for a fag or reaching for a line. And I think that's the thing that I need to address. And I know it's something that I need to address. I've managed to get myself off the news, but I'm doing 15 hours screen time a day, 1-5.
Right.
That's a problem.
That's the craziness of it. It's all going down to mobile phones and just being with you all the time, isn't it?
You know, so when I go to the gym, I've spent the last 6 months stretching to get my head up, because when I speak, my head was like a velociraptor. And actually, so I've literally had to spend 6 months doing stretches to get my back up. Dangerous stuff, this. Dangerous stuff. Yeah. Fun stuff, but dangerous.
Yeah. So big concern for like mental health and all that kind of stuff as well. So,
well, you only got to look at what I said about my stalker. You know, they've got the ability to be able to sit there all day long, creating mayhem and impacting lives in a negative way with relative impunity until the police arrest them, which is coming soon. They've been arrested. They're going to get charged soon.
Right.
That's exclusive for you, that.
Exclusive. Brad, thank you so much for sharing. I mean, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best thing for them to do?
Yeah, work with Brad.biz. Work with Brad.biz. Come find me on all socials. Brad Burton, good looking lad, full of charisma. Need some more hair.
All right, Brad. Really appreciate you, man. Thank you very much.
All the best, friend. Thank you, JT.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Rapport podcast. Visit digital-rapport.com and discover how to connect, influence, and inspire with ease and start making an impact today. Get tips and guidance on how to transform your expertise into a thriving online business through automation, digital products, and services.